Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
28 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Pastor Pat Brayton of the Valley Chapel. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Please bow with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, once again I come to you and ask for your blessing to be upon these men and women who represent the people of Alaska. Let their homes and personal lives be blessed with your presence. Please reveal yourself to them and give them special insight into your will for our state. Let their actions today prove in the long run to be good for Alaska. Help us all avoid the pitfalls that only you can foresee. Give us, Lord, hearts to serve faithfully and unselfishly the people you have placed in our care. Please direct our steps and correct our heading wherever you see the need. We thank you, Father, for your love and mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Ivan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move an act of unanimous consent to prayer spread in the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 106th legislative day?
I certify as the corrections of the House Journal for the 106th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal for the 106th legislative day be approved.
Are there any objection as to the correctness of that journal? Hearing no objection, the journal stands approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have in Gallery A, the superintendent of the Cuspook School District, and unfortunately, also the caretaker of the schools that are apparently in threat of flood. Aniak, Red Devil, and Kalskeg is flooding and flooded some of the villages already. The superintendent of the Cuspook School District, Bob McHenry.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Choquette. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a friend in Gallery B, Mr. John Tillinghast of Juneau. Please help me welcome him.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to also introduce for the first time the newest member to my staff, Andy Spear, our oil and gas senior staff person.
Last call for guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed and returned committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 16, Transportation, relating to the Federal Highway Trust Fund and the Federally Aided Highway Program. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill 75 Finance, namely Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 75 Finance, and Act making appropriations for the operating and loan program expenses of state government and to capitalize funds and providing for an effective date. The President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bills: Senators Kutula, Chairman, Senator Duncan, and Schultz. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15 by Senators Pierce, Ewing, Jaroff, and Collins, requesting the Alaska Commission on Children and Youth to give increased attention to special needs, to the special needs of adolescents.
That will be referred to the HES Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 171, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to training for child care and providing for an effective date.
Three standing committees, Community and Regional Affairs, HES, as well as the Finance Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 219, Labor and Commerce, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation and civil liability for workplace safety inspections and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and the Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications to come before this body?
The following report is on file in the Speaker's office from the Department of Administration, the Monetary Terms and Agreement with Marine Engineers and Beneficial Association. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 43, congratulating the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws on its centennial, and recommends DuPass, signing DuPass, Martin, Hanley, Groenberg, Parnell, and Donnelly. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. HJR 43 has no further referral. The HES Committee has considered House Bill 253, Training of Child Care Workers, and recommends it be replaced with the CS HES with a new title, and has no recommendations. Signing DuPass, C. Davis, Carney, and B. Davis. With no recommendation, Gonzalez, Hanley, Mary Miller, and Lincoln. The report was signed by Co-Chair Carney. HB 253 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 266, BIA Contract School Employment, and recommends DuPass. Signing DuPass, Moyer, Choquette, Baker, Gruenberg, and Kabina. Report was signed by Kabina Chairman. HB 266 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 270, Unpaid Parking Tickets and Impoundment, recommends it be replaced with a CS-CNRA with a new title and DuPass. Signing DuPass, Mackey, Gail Phillips, Baker, and Gonzalez. The report was signed by Mackey, Chairman. HB 270 has no further referral. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 23, CNRA, supporting Yakutat Borough Incorporation, recommends DuPass. Signing DuPass, Mackey, Gail Phillips, Baker, and Gonzalez. The report was signed by Mackey, Chairman. SCR 23 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered House Bill 312, Oil Spill Requirements, Non-Crude Operation, recommends it be replaced with the CSONG with the same title and DuPass and attaches a fiscal note. Signing DuPass, Choquette, Brown, Navarre, Hudson, G. Phillips, and Zawacki. Report was signed by Hudson Chairman. HB 312 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 183 L&C, Alcohol Sales in Hotel Rooms, and recommends DuPass. Signing DuPass, Moyer, Choquette, Taylor, Allison, Hudson. Report was signed by Moyer, Chairman. SB 183 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Diamond High School Boys Cross Country Ski Team, 1991 State Champions, by Representatives Hanley and Lehman and Senator Pierce. Citation honoring the Diamond High School Girls Cross Country Ski Team, 1991 State Champions, by Representatives Hanley and Lehman and Senator Pierce. Citation honoring the University of Alaska Math Team by Representatives Kopanen, M.W. Miller, and Sharp, and Senator Frank. Citation honoring the East High Chapter of Business Professionals of America by Representative B. Davis. Citation honoring Jerry Sakakiak of Representative McLean and Senator Adams. Citation honoring Ruth Wally Richardson by Senator Hoffman and Representative Ivan. Citation honoring the Associate Professor Mike Panoni, University of Alaska Anchorage Air Traffic Control Program by Senator Sturgiluski. And in memoriam, David Conway Prater by Representative Zawacki. I have no further citations.
Bring us down to the citations. We'll go to rules for calendar.
I have no resolutions, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Madam Clerk?
Oh, I do.
You do have.
They're in the wrong. Excuse me. House Joint Resolution 49 by Representative Jackal relating to federal oil leases in the North Aleutian Basin section of Bristol Bay.
This will be referred to the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas, Resources, and then Finance.
I have no further resolutions, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 316 by Representative Ellis, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Education for K-12 support and providing for an effective date.
Hess and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill 196 by the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas, an act limiting civil liability for acts or omissions of an oil spill response action contractor and establishing strict liability on responsible parties for certain acts or omissions of a response action contractor, amending the definition of response action and providing for an effective date. The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the CSONG with a new title and due pass, signing due pass Hudson, Zawacki, Choquette, and G. Phillips, with no recommendation Navarre, Brown, and Carney. The Resources Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the CS Resources with a new title and had no recommendations, signing due pass Lehman, Hudson, and Zawacki, signing do not pass Carney, with no recommendation Davidson, Lincoln, Moyer, Ivan, and Finkelstein. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with the CS Judiciary with a new title and had no recommendations. Signing due pass Martin and Gruenberg, signing NOREC, Hanley, Ellis, Parnell, and Donnelly. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended it be replaced with the CS Finance with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass Larson, R. Phillips, Sharp, Boyer, Brown, Copen and Jacko, Barnes, Navarre, and McLean, with no recommendation Ulmer. I have four committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having four committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt the Finance Committee substitute.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the Finance CS? Hearing none, the committee substitute Finance has been adopted. Does the clerk have any amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no pending amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance? Hearing none, would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 196, Finance, an act limiting civil liability for acts or omissions of an oil spill response action contractor and establishing strict liability on responsible parties for certain acts or omissions of a response action contractor, amending the definitions of response action and response action contractor relating to a report by the Citizens Oversight Council on Oil and Other Hazardous Substances, providing for the repeal on July 1, 1992 of changes made by this act and providing for an effective date.
Third reading. Under debate, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been working on this legislation since the beginning of this session, and I'd like to advise the body of a little bit of the background of it and hopefully seek their approval for it. Committee substitute for House Bill 196 seeks to solve a problem confronting any number of businesses that are transporting, storing, refining, or handling crude and non-crude oil products in Alaska. Alaska's current liability laws threaten to embroil oil spill cleanup contractors in lawsuits arising from an oil spill, even though that responder or that contractor had no part in the spill itself. Several of our sister coastal states and the Congress have recognized the problem and have attempted to solve it by limiting liability. We believe that the bill that you have before us today is stronger than any of those that we observe either on the congressional level or any one of the states that are also have oil coming down the coast. Committee substitute for House Bill 196 has gone through extensive review, four committees of referral, and I believe it now represents a measured response to Alaska-specific problems, and I believe that it is very necessary if we are to encourage the formation of small cooperatives, oil spill cleanup organizations that we desire to have to be available to respond to spills throughout Alaska, as well as to solve what we believe is a potential major problem on the Cook Inlet side in the refineries and all of those that are dealing with the transport of oil for those refineries. If we want to have somebody ready to respond to a spill, I personally believe that this bill will now help. It became apparent to me that current liability laws are actually creating a disincentive for businesses entering the oil spill cleanup businesses. And with that, we have now gone through these committees and come up with this committee substitute. This bill shifts the liability for damages caused by a response action contractor's simple negligence during the first 15 days of oil spill cleanup to the spiller, so long as that response action contractor does not cause personal injury, does not violate an order of the on-scene coordinator, does not substantially deviate from the oil spill contingency plan, and it further calls for a study of this entire state's liability laws, and this study is to be done by the private organization over the interim and presented to the legislature next session. Further, this bill, as I said, is a very balanced bill, sunsets these provisions in 1 year so that the legislature will be able to reconsider this issue next session. I will say that this is consistent with federal law in other states, stronger than most. It makes the liability atmosphere more favorable for contractors and for cooperatives that would clean up the spill. It does, in my opinion, solve or lead to the solution of problems that are currently confronting the Tesoro and other aspects over in the Cook Inlet. It does require a study. It has relatively broad support from certainly from entities over in the Cook Inlet. It does not satisfy all of the interests of all of the parties. Some of the environmental organizations have indicated pleasure that we've attempted to solve the problem, in their opinion. And of course, I don't believe that we can reach their interest. We do have to have this legislation, in my opinion, and I would try to answer any questions and ask member support.
Any further debate? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to say that this bill is a good example of how well the committee process works. It started out as an idea, and it's been worked through the committee until everybody's unhappy with it. But everybody can live with it. It has a one-year sunset date, so we can see how it works. I think, Mr. Speaker, it's an emergency, a 15-day emergency exemption from simple negligence to change it to gross negligence. I think it's a good policy. Regardless of what we're trying to do here, I think it's a good policy overall for the state, and I am hopeful that during the interim when we look at this, we'll make some adjustments as necessary and that we will have a policy in the state that will actually help us in emergency situations, oil spill cleanup, wherever they may be.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 196 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 196, Finance, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 206 by Representative Choquette and Baker, an act revising the loan authority of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and amending the requirements relating to the authority's loan guarantee program and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a CSL&C with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, Taylor, Parnell, Ivan, and Bruckman, with no recommendations or wacky. And Finkelstein, and signing to amend Donnelly. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommend it be replaced with the CS Finance with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, Jacko, Barnes, Sharp, R. Phillips, Larson, and Ulmer. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt the finance CS for HB 206.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the CS finance? Hearing none, the committee substitute finance has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Representative Choquette.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was brought to my attention a day or two ago that the business assistance program under ADA would expire July 1st of this year. This amendment simply extends it for 2 years. I apologize for not noticing that.
Okay, the chair will take that as moving amendment number one.
I would ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Any objections to amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments pending upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask unanimous consent that CSHB 206 finance amended be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing none, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 206, Finance, an Act revising the loan authority of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and relating to the authority's loan guarantees under its business assistance program and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my concerns in Labor and Commerce Committee had to do with the provisions on page 3, line 10, which allows a waiver for collateral of loan guarantees, and I see that the Finance Committee looks like they've done some work in this area also. I'm still uncomfortable with that, Mr. Speaker, that there'd be zero collateral loans being made guaranteed by state funds, but I'm not proposing an amendment to the legislation. I just wanted to point out that that was in there and that I still have some concerns, but I think overall I do support the legislation. I just am not convinced necessarily that I'm just concerned with the practices we've seen in the banking community over the last decade. I still have some concerns about that, but maybe it's worth an experiment here, Mr. Speaker, and that's kind of what I'm going to see it as. I hope it doesn't bite us.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 206, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 206, Finance Amended, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of that clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Could the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, Transportation, by the Senate Transportation Committee, an act naming the Bob Blodgett and Nomteller Highway, the Ina Johnston Bridge, and Mount McGann. The Transportation Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Foster, Mackey, Hudson, Kubina, and G. Phillips. Signing no rec, Lehman. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee substitute, CNRA, with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Foster, G. Phillips, B. Davis, Baker, Mackey, C. Davis, and Gonzalez. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having a committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the House CNRA committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 9.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of that CSCRA? Representative Martin, objections?
Point of information, sir. Could we have an explanation about the title change from the Senate?
Okay. Representative Mackey?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The
problem with the bill, the original bill started out naming the Bob Blodgett Highway and Ina Johnston Bridge, and it got amended later on in the Senate to include a mountain, which the national, I'm not sure what the name of that group is, the Alaska Geographic Board had disapproved the application of that name for that mountain twice, and however, it was put in anyway over and above their objection, and when it got to CNRA, we were alerted of the problem, and in discussing it with that board, discussing it with the sponsor of the bill, and the makers of that particular amendment came to the agreement that other alternatives would be made and that that would be removed from the bill. So the mountain portion of the bill was removed and the title was amended.
Are there still objections maintained to the adoption of the CS from Community and Regional Affairs? Are the objections maintained? Hearing none, the CS, Community and Regional Affairs, has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Representative Taylor?
Just a brief at ease, if I might.
Would the House stand at ease?
When the House come back to order. Before the ayes, we had the bill before us in second reading. Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert back to introduction of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I've got in Gallery A one of my staff members, the one that was very instrumental in 206 along with the Macon Alaskan bill. Please help me welcome her. Her name is Scooter Knuckles.
Any further guests for introduction?
She's a lawyer, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, a person that we often see and who works behind many of the veteran programs, Jeff Morrison, I'd like to have you please help me welcome him here today.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a privilege of Representative Brown and myself to introduce a constituent of ours from downtown Anchorage, a resident of the oldest neighborhood in Anchorage, Government Hill. He's a former legislative staffer in Gallery A, Mr. Mike Abbott.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the fellow representatives to join me in welcoming two friends. Actually, they're about the same age as my kids, but they're just like family. They're constituents of Representative Mike Miller's. In Gallery A is Phil and Mike Prox.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us back to the bill before us, which is in second reading. Would the clerk make reference to Amendment Number 1?
Amendment Number 1 by Representative Taylor.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Objection. Hearing objection. Representative Taylor.
There being objection, this bill, for all intents and purposes, provides an opportunity for the naming of man-made objects within the state of Alaska, an attempt to name a mountain or other geographical promontory would require the concurrence of a board, the Alaska Geographic Society. In the past, we have seen similar legislation to this, and because I have had in my life wonderful experience of having known Frank Paratrovich, he was a friend, at least one I consider a good friend of mine, and I liked the man and respected him very highly. When this came before us a couple of years ago, I placed a similar amendment on that legislation. Unfortunately, it died. I think it's a fair thing to do and an appropriate thing for this legislature to do in honoring this man and his family who gave so much to this state. In later years, probably his wife is better known to many members of the body than Frank was, but because of her active participation in Native affairs. But Frank Paratrovich was an outstanding Native leader, probably a fact unknown to many people here. He was one of the original Four Horsemen who played at Carlisle and played with one of the more famous of our Olympic athletes was within that same group. And so I felt strongly about this each time this opportunity has come up, and that's why I have placed this before the body, and I would ask the body's participation and assistance in naming the Frank Paratrovich Memorial Bridge. I mean no disservice to the representative from that district, and I have as I've said, this is something I've done in the past, and I will continue to do every opportunity I have, if one comes before me, to do this for that family, because I feel very strongly about it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with great reluctance and no certainly disrespect to Mr. Paratrovich, whom I know also, that I'm going to oppose the amendment. This is a bill that's very limited, and we've had these bills on the floor in the past, and they've gotten, I'll call them, porked up, where everybody names a bridge or a highway in favor of somebody, and it just totally bypasses the committee process. I would certainly support, and strongly support, something if a bill were introduced for Mr. Paratrovich and some of these other people that
But to put it on the floor in this manner, I think that we just have to leave. This is a very limited bill, and we shouldn't circumvent the committee process in this way. Otherwise, every member in the floor will have, I'll have a name Spinard Road in favor of somebody. And, you know, that's just not the way we can do business.
Any further debate on amendment number one? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Representative Mackey? Well, I'll have to void the roll right now, but I was just starting to instruct the representative that had not voted to do so. Would the clerk void the roll? Would the House stand at ease? One be adopted. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Mr. Majority Leader?
Sorry.
Representative Bruckman? Has any other member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
17 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment number one has failed adoption. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House CNRACS for CS for Senate Bill 9 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing no objection, will the clerk please give that bill its third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 9, CNRA, an act naming the Bob Blodgett and Noam Teller Highway and the Ina Johnston Bridge.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Gail Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give the body just a brief bit of background on the removal of the McGann Mountain name from this bill. This was a bill that came before the Borough Assembly a few years ago, the Kenai Borough Assembly, when I was on the Assembly, so I've been following it quite a while. At no dispersion whatsoever to be cast upon the family or the name, but the criteria for naming a mountain in Alaska, the Geographical Board did not feel that this name fit the criteria, and I wanted to make sure that there was nothing, no dispersions whatsoever cast. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further debate or discussion? Representative Taylor?
Yes, I have no objection to this legislation where a particular member decides that they wish to name a particular item, whether it's the Bob Blodgett Highway or that Ina Johnston Bridge. In fact, I think it's a courtesy that should be afforded to all members. I was disappointed by the previous balloting in this body and to some extent by the argument. If, in fact, such legislation is not to be made available for amendment on the floor, then it should, I guess it shouldn't come on the floor. But I think this is appropriate that we should name these two things just out of courtesy to those members that have sponsored it. But when it is suggested that I should not propose amendments because that might become a Christmas tree, I find that...
Representative Navarre, state your point of order.
We're in third reading. We're not... amendment is not available in third reading. The membership...
Representative Navarre, your point of order is well taken. There is a tendency to stray into an amendment that was defeated. I suppose you can allude to it, but you have a tendency here to be dwelling on it, so please proceed in order.
I would only suggest, Mr. Speaker, that... I will be voting in favor of this legislation, and I will be doing so out of courtesy to the members of the body who have supported this desire to name objects. It's unfortunate that courtesy is oftentimes not shared.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 9, CRA, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 9, CRA, has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 43, Hess, an act authorizing a registered nurse to determine and pronounce death under certain circumstances. We're in second reading and have amendment number 1 before us.
Okay, the bill is in second reading, and we do have amendment number 1 that was pending by Almer Barnes. We'll assume that you had moved this, so continue, Representative Almer.
Actually, I'd like permission of the body, Mr. Speaker, to remove number 1 and instead move number 2.
Are there any objections to the withdrawal of amendment number 1? It is in possession of the body. Hearing no objection, amendment number 1 has been withdrawn, and the...
Move number 2, Mr. Speaker.
Amendment number 2 has been moved. Are there any objections? Any objections? Hearing no objections, amendment number 2 has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 43, amended House, be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance? Hearing none, would the clerk please give the bill its third reading?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 43, Hess, amended, an act authorizing a registered nurse to determine and pronounce death under certain circumstances.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Just technical. Should that be amended House?
Correct.
The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready, Representative Barnes? Did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to point out just a section of this bill that I have a problem with. On page 1, starting with line 9, says an attending physician has documented in the person's medical or clinical record that the person's death is anticipated due to illness, infirmity, or disease. This prognosis is valid for the purposes of this section for no more than 120 days from the date of the documentation. Mr. Speaker, the problem I have is with a physician that's caring for me or some other person. Documenting in my records 120 days before I die that he's certifying I'm going to die. And for that reason, it's a little bit it's a little bit like euthanasia to me. That, you know, we're kind of saying... I'd like to pull the plug here. I'd like to hear some discussion on that, because I have a real problem with anybody certified I'm going to die 120 days before I get around to dying. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You like a court ruling 121 days? Any further, Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, I kind of feel I better declare a conflict of interest.
Okay, Representative Martin has declared a conflict of interest. Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I understand what the minority whip is talking about. This, of course, does not give permission to the nurse to do anything as far as pulling a plug or anything like that. It just gives them the permission to state whether, in fact, the person is medically dead. And I guess that's the best I can say.
Not a tort reform, huh? Representative Barnes.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the Majority Leader's remarks. However, the contents of his remarks does not reach my problem, because my problem has to do with the physician certifying in my record that I'm going to die 120 days before I die so the nurse can pronounce me dead. That's what it says. Thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 43, Hess, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 43, Hess, amended House, has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Representative Lehman, Watson at ease, House at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had just disposed of a bill upon the calendar, so I'll ask the clerk to please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution number 26 by Representatives Gruenberg, Copeland, Lincoln, Brown, Boyer, Bruckman, Carney, B. Davis, Donnelly, Ellis, Finkelstein, Hudson, Ivan, Mackey, McLean, Moyer, Navarre, and Ulmer, and relating to the Equal Rights Amendment. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the CS Judiciary with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, Donnelly, Gruenberg, Parnell, and Ellis. With no recommendation, Martin and Hanley. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having a committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt the Judiciary CS for HJR 26.
Are there any objection as the adoption of the CS Judiciary? Hearing none, the committee substitute judiciary has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to Amendment Number 1?
Amendment Number 1 by Representative Martin.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move and act unanimous consent for approval of Amendment Number 1.
Okay. Hearing objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment Number 1 answers a long-standing problem with the Equal Rights Amendment. This amendment, outside of the Madison Amendment, has had a longer history throughout our nation than any other modern amendment. It originally began with President Nixon. He was the first one to introduce the ERA Amendment, and the Republican Party did very good in promoting it, and then it failed after 7 years, because that's what the new constitutional amendment says, Amendment 24, that you only have 7 years to add an amendment. But Congress, in its wisdom, decided, let's go again, and for 10 more years, the ERA amendment was before the public. The major concern that the citizens throughout our nation has began in about 1979, 1980, when ERA was synonymous for abortion rights. And at that time, a number of states wanted to withdraw their original support for the original ERA, unless there was a clarification that abortions is not equal to equal rights. And so therefore, we have the same problem before us this year, sir. And the wording I have presented here is a similar wording that is potentially being offered by Congressman Sennenbaumer to hope that more people, more states, and more congressmen and senators will take ERA for what its original purpose was, and that is to guarantee equal rights for all women, all men, and that we're equal under the Creator. And I think that's where it should be, and that this resolution is a neutral resolution. It is supported by Democrats and Republicans on a national basis. So let's go ahead and support ERA for its true intents, but let's not mix it up with the very important issue of human life and abortions. We also see what a number of states are reconsidering, like for instance in Maine, they had a vote and they withdrew their original support for this. One of the most important states, one of the most liberal states, is Vermont, recently had a vote withdrawing their support for the ERA amendment, mainly because they do not want to support abortions under any circumstances. So I think let's not mix the issue. Let's support, as this amendment calls, the neutralization of the issue. And I don't even know if Tenet Kennedy has agreed to this yet, but he's the one that is pushing for the ERA today, which is kind of humorous in a way, ironic. But anyway, I feel that we need to separate the issues. The American Civil Liberties Union has made it very clear throughout the nation that once there is a national ERA amendment, that this means abortion, and that the states and the federal government and anyone must, even against their conscience, a doctor, a nurse, must support and participate in abortions against their own conscience. And that is going pretty far, Mr. Speaker. And I think that to show that Alaska is a balanced state, that we do separate the issues and consider them on their own merits, I ask for unanimous approval of this amendment. Thank you.
To amendment number one, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am going to have to oppose the amendment for three reasons. First of all, the way the bill is drafted at the present time, we support SJR 3 and HJR 1 and specifically worded language. This particular language is not in either bill at the moment. As far as I know, it has never been adopted by any committee of Congress. We have no assurance it ever would be adopted by any committee of Congress. There is no legislative history on this at the moment, and that is an issue that Congress will have to decide when and if it proposes this legislation to the states. I am not going to sit here in the state legislature for the state of Alaska and tell Congress what to do on a potential amendment that may never even be offered. We don't even know. It hasn't been offered yet. It's been talked about, but it hasn't, as far as I know, been laid on the table. Secondly, the amendment here, the Martin Amendment, itself interjects abortion into this issue. By dealing with the amendment, we are, in fact, interjecting abortion into a bill that doesn't mention the subject at the moment. Some courts may rule one way or the other. That is an issue for the court to decide based upon their individual interpretation of whatever legislation they have. Now, no court has ever construed the Equal Rights Amendment at the federal level because there is no adopted Equal Rights Amendment at the federal level. Some courts have construed their state little equal rights amendments. And I don't know the legislative history of those particular little ERAs that have been construed by other states. Some of them may deal with abortion, some of them may not. Those are irrelevant because they are amendments to other state constitutions. I am not anxious to interject anything concerning abortion and this discussion, one way or the other, and to take any stand on that with respect to this particular amendment, because we have our own little ERA, and I do not want anything that is said on the Martin Amendment to be construed in any manner, one way or the other, with respect to any future state construction of our little ERA that we've already adopted. May we have a brief at ease, please?
The host, indeed. Would the House come back to order? Before the IDs, we had amendment number one before us. And under debate, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to table the amendment.
Motion to table. Hearing objection. Motion to table is not debatable.
But it is amendable.
It was not a motion to table to a time certain.
That's what I have in mind, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Speaker, I move that we table and amend the tabling motion to 11:30 to 11:35.
Object.
Hearing objections. We've got amendment to us. Mr. Majority Leader?
Just point of clarification. My motion was a motion to permanently table. I object to tabling to a time certain.
Okay. The question would be, shall the amendment is to table to a time certain. That's the amendment. After that, any other amendments would be considered to be dilatory in nature. Representative Martin, this is not...
Speaker, no, point of, can you speak on the amendment to the motion?
Only in relation to the time itself, but not as to the subject.
That's why I'm pointing to him.
Representative Phillips.
Speaker, you know, the tabling motion, and I'm going to get to the time. I personally resent having a motion like this, period, because it's not in the tradition of this body to do that. It has happened in the last few years. To the motion, the time, Mr. Speaker, I just soon have this tabling motion killed for that purpose, and the sooner the better, because a tabling motion goes both ways, and it delays the action of this body, and I just really resent having a tabling motion because it rubs against the grain of this body's tradition on not offering tabling motions, and that's why I offered the amendment to the tabling motion.
This tabling motion has been used several times over the last 2 years. It is not... Let us... Representative Barnes, to a time certain?
At a
time certain?
We can have it at ease for however long you let us have it.
Okay, would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the IDs, we had an amendment to the amendment dealing with the tabling motion. The amendment to the amendment right now is, I guess, the time has passed, so I don't want to necessarily rule it out of order. I would call it now an improper amendment, because the time that the representative stated was 11:30. Okay. But now we have the amendment to the amendment, and I was going to deal with that anyway. I'm just talking in terms of the technicality of the amendment. We have roughly 3 minutes to deal with this. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the tabling amendment be for a certain time? A time certain. Members may proceed to vote. Do you understand the motion? Does the whole body understand the motion?
No.
Okay. Would you avoid the roll call? The motion is, there was a motion to table and an amendment to table to a certain time. And the motion, what I would say is, shall the tabling amendment be to a time certain? Are you ready? The tabling motion to amend to a time certain, shall it pass? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Representative Brown. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
13 nays, 23 nays.
The motion to table to a time certain has been defeated. We have the main motion before us, and that is to table. Mr. Majority Leader?
I call the House on the tabling.
Okay, the House to the motion to table has a call on it. Once again, I must inform members that please, during the voting procedure, do not get up out of your chair and walk around.
I withdraw.
Motion has been withdrawn on the call of the House. Wait for it to show up on the board here. Are you ready for the question? Shall amendment number one be tabled? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
24 yeas, 14 nays.
Amendment number one has been tabled. The clerk make reference to amendment number two.
Amendment number two by Representative R. Phillips.
Speaker, I move for the adoption of amendment number two.
Are there objections?
Yes.
Hearing objections, proceed.
Speaker, in the resolution, final resolve asks that this resolution be sent to certain individuals, and I notice that the spouses of these individuals were excluded, and what this amendment does, it includes the spouses for these for this particular resolution to be sent to.
Any further debate on amendment number two, Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, I have no objection to the amendment.
Are there any objections, Representative Ellis?
Mr. Speaker, I just posed the question, why?
Mr.
Representative
Speaker,
Phillips?
If you look at the first resolve, it says a copy of this resolution shall be sent to President Bush and Barbara Bush, the First Lady. That's the reason why.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Not on the amendment, but on the bill itself, I call the House.
Okay. Representative Taylor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. On the bill itself, I move to table.
Motion to table the bill. Representative Navarro?
Speaker, there's an amendment before us, and we were on the amendment. The amendment has not yet been disposed with.
That is true. We do have a live amendment before us. Thank you, Representative Navarro. We have amendment number two before us. Are there objections to amendment number two? Are there objections maintained? Are the objections maintained? Hearing none, amendment number two has been adopted.
Mr.
Representative
Speaker,
Taylor?
Yes, I move to table the bill.
Yeah.
Motion to table. Mr. Majority Leader?
I call the House on the motion as well as the bill.
The call has been placed upon the motion to table. Will the House stand these, Mr. Majority? Will the House come back to order? Before the ADs, we had a motion to table the bill. Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe that it's appropriate to use that device in this body. I think we should be open and available for debate on all issues and should stand accountable on them. And because of that, and for only that reason, I don't believe two wrongs make a right in this situation. I therefore ask to be the consent of the body to withdraw my motion for table.
Representative Navarro, state your point of order. Yeah, well, I knew the minority's leader intent to withdraw his tabling motion, so humored it. Thank you, Representative Navarro. Are you ready? The motion, are there any objections to withdrawing the motion to table? Hearing no objections, the table motion has been withdrawn. We are still in second reading and available for amendments. Does the clerk have any further amendments pending upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Question.
Having no further, this is a joint resolution, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Hearing objection. Are you ready for the question? The question, what the question is now is, shall the bill be advanced to third reading?
Yes.
Or the resolution? That is what is before us because there was objection. Are the objections maintained to the advancement motion?
Yes.
Okay. Speaker. Representative Phillips?
Briefing.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had a motion to advance to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I lift the call in the House.
Could you
speak
about the following
houses? Okay. The call has been lifted, and the motion before us is advancement motion. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call the House on the advancement. I think on these issues, all of us should be here.
The House has been called. Mr. Majority Leader?
I withdraw the motion.
You can't withdraw mine.
Well, I'm afraid that the way the uniforms rules is that one individual member can place the call of the House and may not. And that is in the uniform rules, which would supersede anything we could create out of Mason's manual. Mr. Majority Leader.
May I just have...
Your motion was out of order, Mr. Majority Leader.
It's the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Well, you know, I hadn't even wrapped in yet, but this is really interesting. Now, we have the Majority Leader saying that he withdraws his motion to advance to third reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, the Majority Leader can't do that, because we're under a call of the House and no action can take place while we're under the call of the House. So to withdraw his motion, that would be action taking place.
Doggone it, Representative Barnes. Sometimes you are fun. That is absolutely correct that the we are basically must satisfy the call of the House before you can place any motion, because and so we basically, I guess, would be at ease. We had a motion before us to advance the resolution to third reading. There were objections to that motion and a call of the House placed. The call has not been totally satisfied at this moment. Does anybody care to lift the call? Okay, the call has not been satisfied. We have some people that are missing. We'll have to have an ease, but I will not let anybody leave the chambers until the call is satisfied. And we have... The call has now been satisfied. The motion before us is an advancement motion. There are objections. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 26, Judiciary Amended, be advanced to third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 12 nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 26, Judiciary Amendment, will appear on the next calendar in third reading. The call has been lifted. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Current Resolution Number 7, Judiciary. We have, in second reading, we have Amendment Number 1 before us.
Representative Mary Miller.
Mr. Speaker, could we have an at ease?
The House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had Amendment Number 1 before us by Representative Mary Miller. It has been moved. Is there any objections? Hearing objections, Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I request that my Amendment Number 1 be withdrawn and substituted with new Amendment 1, which is co-sponsored by the representative from ACIAC.
Okay, there's a new Amendment Number 1 here. Are there any I guess it is being duplicated, Representative.
Yes.
And I assume that it's fairly lengthy, so we better... Yeah, her amendment is not available to us at this point, so stand at ease. House come back to order. Before the at ease, Representative Mary Miller had withdrawn Amendment Number 1 and moved a new Amendment Number 1, which should be on your desk and labeled so new. Are there objections to the new Amendment Number 1? Are there objections to the new Amendment Number 1? Hearing none, Amendment Number 1, that is new, has been adopted. Would the clerk make reference to Amendment Number 2?
Amendment Number 2 by Representative Bruckman.
Representative Bruckman.
Thank you. I'd like to call a brief at ease.
Would the House stand at ease?
Wait a minute.
Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, Amendment Number 2 was before us, and it is new Amendment Number 2. I now see there is a revised Amendment Number 2. Representative Bruckman, what is your pleasure?
I believe it's revised number 2.
Roger on that.
Well, I can't find new number 2.
Would the representative remove her amendment number 2 that is classified as new? Mr. Majority?
Before that motion to remove the revised number 2 is made, I have a question for the author of the amendment. The revised number 2, which was new number 2, had a new resolved clause. Revised number 2 does not. Is it the maker's intent to eliminate the revised clause, the resolved clause?
Representative Bruckman?
I didn't understand that.
Okay, let me repeat the question.
Yeah, would the House stand at ease and go on? Would the House come back to order? Before they had ease, there was some complicated discussion as to the new amendment, the revised amendment. My understanding now from the chair is that new amendment number 2 was not offered. So the representative is going to and will move revised amendment number 2. Okay. The chair will take it that amendment number 2 revised has been moved. Hearing objection, Representative Bruckman, would you care to discuss the revised?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that this be accepted by the body because I think it speaks to the rights of minorities and the rights of women who've really not enjoyed the full privilege under the Bill of Rights, and would encourage the body to vote for this. I have noticed, though, where it says insert at line 5, page 2, the second sentence down, after Alaska Natives, I would recommend removal of the word Eskimo and Aleuts because they are certainly Alaska Natives.
Okay, I guess what the mover of the amendment is asking is an amendment to the amendment which the clerk could possibly do if it's desire of the body to strike Eskimo and Aleut. Are there any objections to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing no objections to the amendment to the amendment, that amendment has been adopted. And now we have amendment number 2 before us as amended. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I object and call the House.
Representative Martin, you're objecting to the new... Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, at this time of the game, I'm going to explain calling the House. I think it's important, no matter what the issue, that everyone be here on everything that this House is going to do for the next 10, 12, 14 days. And if I feel that my obligation is right here, I feel the majority members should be here too. We all got things that we'd rather do. But I think for respect, for the best way to have the thing move in an orderly procedure, sir, is for everyone to move here, to stay here.
Any further debate on amendment number 2, Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize we're under a call of the House, but I would hope the Chair would just allow debate to continue while we await the arrival of the other members. Thank you. Let me suggest that I would propose to the sponsor that reconsideration be given to the phrase where it starts many Americans and then it includes various denominations. From my study of the history of the United States, I think significant groups have been left out. Maybe it's because certain groups today seem to have a higher spotlight on them as to impacts they may be suffering because of discrimination of one type or another. But let me remind the body that there's a significant Chinese community in the United States that we brought into this country as just one step above slave labor that built our railroads and our power lines and dams and other things in the West. In addition to that, we had an Irish immigrant flow that because of the potato famine that brought thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to America, and they were discriminated against. That in addition to that, there were Polish peoples that came in. And in my own life experience, I have watched people come in from Czechoslovakia, from Hungary. In recent years, I've seen the Vietnamese boat people. And there was significant discrimination against the Vietnamese boat people. There were shooting incidents in the Gulf of Mexico, around Texas, where they were fighting over shrimp and who was going to have the right to fish for them. There were, and there still is, no small significant amount of difficulty for the Vietnamese people that occupy our West Coast and are having a difficult time at times moving into society. In addition to those groups, in recent years, we have also seen a flood of people come in from Cuba. And if you think there isn't difficulties being a Cuban in Florida, you ought to see what the politics are like down there on that one. In addition to that, probably the latest wave of immigrants hitting the East Coast of the United States have been those people floating in from Haiti. Probably some of the saddest cases you've ever seen of people on the edge of starvation with very difficult situations. And some of those people would certainly claim that they maybe are being denied certain rights that they should have as immigrants to America. My fear is that by highlighting only a few, we exclude all of the others, and that it may be better to redraft this paragraph if people feel strongly about it, to just say, whereas many Americans, and then go on with concerns about discrimination, as opposed to trying to reach a litany or litmus test list that may in fact exclude some group that each of us would all feel would probably be a good group to be included. I don't know if your call has been satisfied, but I certainly talked longer than I intended to. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Let's see. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly appreciate the minority leader's concern about minorities, and I think that The previous amendment is offered that was just passed actually took care of this very same argument that the minority leader was making that I had yesterday. We weren't addressing the slavery issue. We weren't addressing when the Japanese were put into prison of war camps and all these types of things. And by the language that my friend and colleague from Eagle River submitted in the last amendment, I think by simply stating individuals and minorities, that covers all ethnic groups, women and other people that feel they're of some sort of minority status. And I too would certainly respectfully ask the maker of this amendment to reconsider. Thank you.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am supporting the language as is for the reason that the previous speaker is talking about others that perhaps have been left out. The language starting with the second line says other minorities, and so I think it encompasses everyone. There certainly could have been a list that would have been very encompassing to include everyone, but I think that little phrase there includes those that have been left out. But I think that in particular, those individuals that are named are those that we're focusing on.
Representative Mary Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly appreciate the comments of my colleague from Craig. I think he understands what the purpose of a previous action we took, and I would urge the body to consider what I have presented to them, and realizing the extent to which I worked with other members of this body to address the issues which are listed in Revised Amendment 2. Now, Revised Amendment 2, as has been pointed out, looks as though there are flaws in it, and I certainly see some flaws in it. And my concern is that in attempting to perfect Revised Amendment 2, we will eventually end up with what I have proposed to this body in the beginning. And I ask my colleagues to consider seriously that I, as a woman, and I, as a caring individual, I, as an individual who respect others and have attempted to work with others within this body to address these issues in neutral language, and have put forth that kind of effort, I would respectfully ask that my colleagues consider this carefully and oppose Revised Amendment Number 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bruckman, Amendment 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would encourage the body to vote for this amendment, including the expanded language of other minorities. Yes, other minorities recognize the other groups in the lower 48, but for this entire resolution to come from the state of Alaska, I think it's important for folks to understand that we've given it thought, great thought, and we're behind it by recognizing all the peoples that live within the state of Alaska. And that's what I've attempted to do. Yes, I think we've not been able to include everybody in the entire lower 48, but it shows a best attempt to show that we're serious about what we're saying and include all the minorities in the state of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, the call has been satisfied. Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support the language that is in the amendment, and the reason for that is because we have not all been equal in America. Some minority members have had more rights violated than others, and simply because of the fact that they've been glossed over, they've been lumped together and not focused on. I think a prime example would be the rights of rural Alaskans to have safe drinking water.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think the amendment that was jointly introduced by Mr. Representative Ivan and Miller really addresses the problems that we want to always encourage people from this day forward to address many minority problems. day in and day out, we see discrimination done. And with that broader amendment, we certainly are making ourselves aware of the numerous problems that are available to us to correct. For instance, Mr. Speaker, I very much think that actions speak louder than words. And one of the major problems I felt over the past three or four sessions of legislatures had been the discrimination of those people, those staff members who work for minority representatives versus those who work for a majority. That is some of the worst discrimination I've seen. And I think you've done a real good job in the past in correcting some of these problems where we did not have salary equity, where we did not even have health equity. Because if you worked for a minority, you weren't allowed to have the health benefits. But you and your wisdom almost automatically allowed this to happen when you were Speaker 4 years ago. So we do have discrimination and the animosities also associated when someone said, oh, I work for so-and-so, or they're in a minority group. That comes over constantly. Now, I still don't know if we have addressed the pay equity of women, whether they work for the minority or the majority, but I understand there's still some problems there. We passed legislature under this guise of ethics called, I forget the word, nepotism. And we said that traditional family members, your son, your stepson, and daughters cannot work for the same house. But those who you may be associated with in common law and so on, that's legal. So that's another discrimination that we have. And this one here tells us about the history of the problems we've had. It tells of the, if you read between the lines, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, makes it very clear that we had a civil war to solve this problem of equality. The first 10 amendments basically were establishing the principles of liberty, but the remaining 16th amendment had to do with the equality of all people created equally, as expounded upon in the Declaration of Independence. And we'll keep fighting for equality. So I feel, in short, that this amendment is not necessary. I'd rather keep the broad prospect of the Ivan Miller Amendment that we already passed, and let's work and let action speak louder than words. Thank you.
Representative Lehman, you have not spoken on this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just note that in the third paragraph, where the expanded list of minorities appears, that we haven't even included the entire list of Aboriginal peoples that are recognized as being from Alaska. I find that rather ironic. It's probably sad that we haven't done that. And additionally, we haven't identified others who have suffered from discrimination, maybe from their religious beliefs, disabilities, age, other things like that. My opinion is, in looking at this, there's some good ideas in this amendment, but I think it's not crafted as well as it could be. And because of that, I think it does more disservice to the resolution if we pass it than if we don't pass it. So I am going to vote no on it.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, as a Swede who has been discriminated against because Swedes are not listed on this, I would like to make this one point. Earlier in this session today, we took discussion about not going ahead on the floor and changing something that has already gone through all the committee processes. This resolution has already gone through the committee processes. There's been a lot of work done on it. Let's just take it where it's at right now and get going on it. If we could stay here for days amending this, and I would just urge that we just continue and get through it.
Well, I guess I made a mistake by not sending this resolution to four standing committees like House Bill 196. Is there any other member that would like to speak on this that has not spoken on the issue at this point? Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, well, I won't get into that.
I have a question on the last sentence here, and it says here, efforts to discourage voting franchise, and it seems to me that Congress had passed a law about 20-some-odd years ago, you know, making that illegal, so I'm just wondering if that does exist. If it does, I think it ought to be in there, but if it doesn't, then I'd like...